Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
No problem. It was right over the, right down the street.
So what's your favorite coffee?
I do not enjoy coffee.
Me neither.
At all in any way. And I own more coffee mugs.
I bet you as a teacher.
I have so many coffee mugs I've given away. But yeah, I'm not. I use them a few as pencil holders and the rest are off passed to friends or family because I don't like coffee at all.
Do you like tea or anything like that?
No.
Oh, see, I actually like just like tea, but.
Okay. Are you from Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's usually if it's not coffee, you're in Texas, so, you must like tea. No.
I do.
No. Diet Coke.
Okay.
It's terrible. Well,
it's something, but.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it either. So it's
there
fine.
There you go. You have it.
Yeah. So this is my first time meeting you. You work for Hill Elementary.
I do.
And what grades do you teach?
I teach second grade. I've been there for 10 years, always in second grade.
That's fun. That's, oh, I like second grade. It's like a sweet age. You don't have STAR testing yet, which I love.
We have plenty of testing. For me, the sweet spot is they know how to tie their shoes.
Okay.
They know how to go to the bathroom. All that's independent, but they still want to hug you and they still want to make sure that you're proud of them. And so, yeah, it's a really good sweet spot.
Aww. Did you teach anything before that?
Yes, I've taught pre-K through fifth in different schools. But at Hill, I've been just in second grade.
Oh, that's fun. So the way I know you is through Casey. And I guess Casey didn't tell you that this was going to be on YouTube too, which is Casey Moore, if you're watching.
You waited until the cameras were on to tell me it's going to be on YouTube. She didn't tell me there would be cameras. Oh, she is in so much trouble. No, she did not. I just figured we were going to come and chit-chat
about teaching.
Yeah. Thanks, Casey.
How long have you taught with Casey?
At Hill for 10 years, but she, actually this is year 11, but she took a couple years off in there, when she had her son. So she wasn't technically there, but she would come and visit and do stuff with us.
So second grade is your favorite grade, probably, you would say, I think.
So I'm near the end of my teaching career and it's, for me, it's a really good sweet spot for that. Anything younger, I've been physically exhausted at the end of the day. Anything older, I've been mentally exhausted.
Interesting.
By the end of the day. So it's a really good sweet spot for me right now.
Okay. I could see that. I had a little boy that just finished second. So it's a sweet little age.
It's a really good age.
Yeah. And I have one going into first and one going into fifth.
Nice. So that's a good spread.
Yeah.
Everybody's still in elementary.
They're all 1 year. They'll be all together.
I love that.
It'll be really sweet. So, so what kind of things like could parents help prepare their kids for school this year since it's about to be starting up?
Yeah. So I was thinking about that question and there's not really like from a teacher standpoint, a checklist of things.
Uh-huh.
I would say just general, not yes, no questions. Right? Try to dig into more of what actually happened so you can maybe support it at home. So maybe not, how was your day? Fine. And that's the end of it, right? But more, you know, what friend did you sit next to during math? Or what did you really like best about your day? Just to kind of get a little bit more meat of their day going. And then other than that, I would say, you know, your kids a lot better than we do, especially at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And so what are their interests? Really listening to what they're saying and maybe just trying to dig into it with a few questions. And then, oh, well, you know, a few weeks ago you were talking about your science activity and it was with rocks. And so, gosh, did you know there was a planetarium here? And trying to, you know, like explore their interest to keep them interested and asking questions and curious about whatever you're kind of either knowing or learning about your kid that year.
I think it's
always a good idea.
Not asking just the yes or no questions. Cause I feel like I fall into that sometimes too. How was your day? Good. Like
we're all exhausted, right?
Yeah.
You all do a lot of things. So, and my children are grown and I know I didn't do this well a lot. And I certainly am a better teacher after having children than my career before I had children. But I would definitely, just try to find, maybe not right after school, right? It's not a real good time to grill them. If you're ever stuck, I lived in South Austin while my children were coming up. And so we were stuck with a 45 hour and a half drive. And so I wouldn't say anything. But as soon as one of them started talking, I could be a great fly on the wall. So listening to conversations and not participating, having a group of friends in a minivan, you learn so much about your
kids. Oh, I'm sure you do. We aren't there yet, but.
But then, you said, I don't know, you wanted to go out for the sports team. What? Tell me about that. And then don't look at them. But I think any age when you're kind of stuck in a car, hearing more about their day, they're much easier to get information out of. And then, just good listening, I think. I don't know because I'm not allowed to do this at work, but I know Casey told you that I was a believer. And so that whole, and I'm not really great with the Bible all that much, but you have two ears, but only one mouth. Mm-hmm. So, right, listen more and not, well, I need to teach you this lesson with it, or I need to make sure you know all this stuff that might be coming. Just being there to listen, at least in a classroom, is huge. Yeah. And I think if I would have done that more as a mom, it would have been beneficial to my own kids as well.
Yeah. I feel like that's so wise. I feel like that's just like in anything in life, though, too. Just just take time to listen, slow down enough to be able to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Because most of the time, maybe not most of the time, but plenty of the time, they don't need a fix. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes, especially in second grade with littles, it's not always beneficial to give them a fix. It's so, well, what do you think about that? Well, what have you tried? Do you want to go try it? See what happens. So that self awareness, I can do this. I can figure it out. I can have some confidence, even if I don't know what I'm doing. Praising and doing it for them because it's easier for us in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not usually a great plan for these kids when to help them become more self-sufficient adults.
Yeah.
So I would definitely, if you can, it's hard in the classroom with 20 some odd of them, but as much as I can, well, you tell me. I am not the giver of all knowledge. Like, what do you think? Where could we go to find out? Where's it? What's a tool we could use to figure this out? And then go try it. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
You're more of a guide. And I think that falls, at least for me, it did as a parent, just as true as when I've been a teacher. And you're not here to tell them all the things and then your job is done. They're going to live in a different world than we are. So how can you help them understand how to get through the world on their own?
Yeah, I love that reminder. You're talking about building their confidence and letting them do things and fail. And because it is so much easier to be like, well, I want this. Okay, let me just do it for you because it's quicker. But slowing down and letting them do it to start helping them build that confidence up. I need that reminder myself.
It's hard. When do we get a break in our schedules to say, oh, of course I have enough time for you to try it five times and pitch a fit because you're frustrated. And that doesn't, not in real life, but it's a lot easier in my world view to do that at school because these aren't my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I can connect with them, but essentially parents are raising them. And so to be able to have the time to say, oh, well, that didn't work today. Let's come back and try tomorrow. It's been easier for me to do with my students than it ever was with my own children. But that idea and trying it, I think, is really important for them to have that inner conversation with this was hard. And I messed up and I'm really frustrated, but I figured it out. And then I can maybe have more confidence going into something else that's new. That's also hard. Whereas sometimes their messaging in our dialogue is, well, she did it for me, so she must not think I can do it. Or
that's she hard. Did it for,
right?
I think my middle one does that sometimes and I'm noticing it and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, just the confidence thing and letting them do stuff. He wanted to bake cinnamon rolls and it's just so much easier if I just do it for him. Let me just like mix all the things for you and let's be done. And it took us like 2 hours and like every dish in the kitchen was dirty. And I was just like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
And like, you know, slowing down and being like, okay, which one of these is like a fourth of a measuring cup and like trying to do math in it too.
Yeah.
And I just want to be like, it's just this, like just, and he was like looking at all of them and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. But that's so, even the, let's take out all the great academics, right? Take out the mixing, take out the measurement, the mess of it.
Yeah.
Right? You want to have fun. You want to explore. You want to do. Cool. There's also natural consequences too. And we need to eat dinner in an hour.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Yeah, I think all of them are huge lessons, regardless of school.
Yeah.
But Helps in school too.
Yes. Yes. I can tell you're very patient with your students. It seems like. Yeah.
You kind of have to be. But yeah. I do think for a lot of years, especially when my kids were little in elementary, I didn't always have a great balance with that. And so I think I've learned through messing it up plenty of times that I wish I would have given my own children a little bit more of my patience than it's just in the class, or it's easier for me to be patient in the classroom than it is in my home. So, you know, we all get it wrong. We all learn through trying and messing up. So,
but now you have wisdom to share though, too. Like, I feel like you're very giving us some good advice. What would you say if a kid is just really struggling, not wanting to go to school, bad attitude? How, I don't know, as a teacher, like, what could you tell a parent, like, to maybe kind of help with that?
Yeah, this is one that took forever in my career, and I still kind of stink at it most of the time, is it's nothing about you, right? So take that personal, they're being mean, or I've already told them seven times, or any of that, anything that's eliciting an emotion from you. So where the grown-up would be, I told you, anything that's going to keep you out of your calm area, you have to remind yourself. It has nothing to do with you. A kid comes to school and is in a mood, I didn't do that, right? Yeah. So you have to meet, where is this coming from? It's really not because you were sat at the blue table instead of the red table. It's really not because your friend said something mean to you, right? And so you have to solve those as best you can. What is underneath that? And I have found in a classroom and at home, the safer the environment, the more they trust you, the more they're willing to share, like, I'm having this really hard day because I didn't get a good breakfast, or I'm having a really hard day because I really want X, Y, and Z, and my mom's not letting me do it, or any of those kind of circumstances.
Yeah.
I took a lot of that and still do some days. Like, you are being a pill. Stop being such a toot. Just follow my directions. But see, then I'm not the problem, so I'm not helping solve the problem. If I try to put my own emotion into it, I just have to, you know, would you like a minute? Here's some options of things you can do in the peace area, which at least in AISD, we all have like a space you can go and just take a minute, breathe, get, because you can't teach anything when they're upset.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to be able to learn it. So helping kids regulate their own feelings as well as they're able to developmentally, is a best way to then get teaching in. And the more I think children are allowed to at least have support to regulate themselves, the more they trust you. Like, I can come mad and she doesn't yell at me, or I can come upset and she really listens. I think anything that comes with some sort of upsettedness, wherever that lies for the kid, is just to remind yourself, even though you might be feeling the big feelings too, is just to stay calm, and it has nothing to do with you most of the time.
Yeah. That's huge. Even to get them to enjoy school a little bit more, to like be safe, feel safe in the classroom, feel seen in the classroom.
Yeah. Because I can't really control, you know, 90% of what goes on in their lives, right?
Yeah.
I can't change their living circumstances. I can't change their opinions about things or how they feel when they don't get something they want. But I can, here's our little bubble, and inside here, you're going to be seen and you're going to be heard. And when you feel safe enough to then either share or regulate your own emotions to be able to move on, that's going to make for better learning for everybody.
Yeah.
Including that little kid. So
that's really good. So we start school, I mean, on Wednesday, but y'all start like a whole week later. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about school this year?
This has been a weird feeling for me because I love the beginning. Who doesn't love, you know, starting new and fresh?
And the school supplies and
the new classroom. And you build, like, if you've taught for even a little while, you build a little family, right? End of the year is really stinky because you have put so much in and you are a group, and then they leave. And you still get to see them, but it's not, you know, it's not the same. But that idea of building new relationships and hearing new curiosities, a year hasn't gone by that I haven't learned something from the group of kids that's been put in front of me. So that's very exciting for me. It usually dwindles about day 8 or 9. Like, my room was so clean until you kids showed up. But I do definitely think as I've gotten closer to retirement, near the end of my career, as opposed to the beginning, I think I take it much more seriously because I don't get to do this forever.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I'm much more present, and maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I think because I've done it for a few years, I know how precious this time is. And so, yeah, I haven't taken it for granted the last few years, and it's made for much better years and definitely much better beginnings to years.
Yeah. And I do. Teachers just have such a big impact too in a kid's life. So much. When my kid was in kindergarten, he's in fifth grade now, his kindergarten teacher, I remember her, and he still talks about it.
Yeah.
He was like, my kindergarten teacher said I would be a great engineer or an architect, and he's still in fifth grade. Is like, that's what I'm going to be when I grow up, because remember Miss, I don't even remember her name, was like, you know, I was building with blocks one day, and she said I was so good at it, and it has stuck with him every single year, and he still talks about his kindergarten teacher. So I'm like, it's just, teachers make such a big impact.
Yeah, and so. I bet your son remembers the kindergarten teacher's name.
Oh, 100% he does, yeah.
And I think even when you don't, like sometimes you, as the kids grow up, I'm only a second grade teacher, so sometimes older kids will come back and say, it was really nice when you said whatever. So sometimes you get to know it. But other times it's like decades and you get a note.
Oh,
and
that's,
you know,
so
I'm not
going
to cry. There are cameras on. I am not going to cry. But you get a note and you're like, I didn't even, like, I never would have thought that whatever I said or did in a moment that was nothing to me. You know, you see a kid building with blocks. Yeah, that is a great design. You say positive things. You don't know that it's going to make an impact later in their lives.
Yeah.
But you hear something a decade or two or three later and you're like, oof, that was a lovely ripple effect that I never realized. And how cool that is. It's powerful.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sure that's what keeps you teaching too, when you get notes like that in the mail.
Those are crazy cry moments.
Yeah.
But, and it's helped like make every beginning of the year amazing, because you know, even if you don't hear about it, even if it's that same kid that's never absent and he drives you crazy, you know you're making an impact on that child's life, whether they realize it in the moment or maybe they never realize it. You know you are. And so, yeah, that's been a pretty cool thing about being a teacher.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, of course. It was great being here. Thanks.
Bye.